You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Any film that features Robert Duvall or Sissy Spacek in its cast is worth checking out. But now these two amazing Oscar award-winning actors are appearing together in a movie called Get Low, and they sure don't disappoint. Get Low also stars Bill Murray and Lucas Black, and it opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Regal Union Square Theaters. I'm delighted that it brings both Robert Duvall and Sissy Spacek back to our show. Hello.
How you Hello. Doing?
You seem so natural together. Have you ever been in a movie before?
Never.
No.
Isn't that terrible?
Not even close, I don't think.
No.
And yet you've been in similar kinds of films over the years.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, this one starts off with an unusual premise. A recluse by the name of Felix Busch suddenly rides into town with a big wad of cash and wants to arrange a funeral, but a very unusual kind of funeral. Do you want to explain, Robert?
Well, he wants to set up and go to his own funeral so he can see what people say about him, and he can say something about he's been harboring for a long time.
Now, why would he care about what people would be saying about him?
Well, he does and he doesn't. I think underneath, he does. That's part of the upfront kind of thing. What he really wants to do is get something off his chest, I think, before he really dies, which is he has an illness, so he might, it's kind of pending. So he wants to hold a gathering to make it happen, you know.
And is this based on a real story?
Yes, it is. But it's fictionalized from a real story.
Basically. I was going to say that I think, I always thought that he kind of wanted to suffer. He wanted to punish himself by hearing the horrible, awful stories that people in the community.
Yeah, that's true. But we never got around to filming that so much, did we? He ended up doing
all the talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody was too scared to say anything in front of you.
Well, because he is reputed to have done terrible things. And he doesn't do anything to suggest that he hasn't done it.
Well, anybody that's kind of hermetic like that and is a mystery, people build up all these stories that aren't necessarily true at all, you know. People, it's more from them than from him, really.
Yeah, this is the kind of role that actors dream about, isn't it?
Yeah, I never dreamed about this role, but when it came along, it is the kind
you
dream
so
about.
No, just so needy.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so.
What about you, Sissy? You play the widow, Maddie Darrow, who seems to be the only one to have seen a different side of Felix. Was she based on a real character?
I don't think so, no. We just made her up out of thin air.
Right. Maddie, mighty Maddie.
But she matches Felix in strength and independence.
Yes, I you know, it always makes me sad thinking about Maddie because, you know, she's lived her life in love with this Felix Busch, and he disappeared from her life. She lost her sister, under weird circumstances, and she lost the man she loved. And then when he reappears, and they rekindle this friendship, I think she has an idea that there will be more than a friendship.
Although by this time, he seems to be a totally lost soul and lost
to her. Not to her in the beginning.
I think maybe I would like it to be a friendship, but nothing more maybe.
Yeah, I think so. And my heart is dashed by that.
You obviously think about these characters beyond what's in the script. Did you actually make up more backstory than you even were given in the film?
Yeah, I
do. Somewhat. Yeah, you do that kind of privately and to yourself. Not necessarily shared with other people necessarily, unless asked maybe.
Well, your backstory might be different than Sissy's backstory. And then
oh, definitely.
Exactly.
But I only make up a backstory about myself.
Yeah, that's the way it's personalized. They could be different, absolutely.
Weren't you working with a first-time director here, Aaron Schneider?
Yeah, well, second, he had won an Oscar for a short film on a Faulkner short story. Mm. It was kind of his first time as a feature film director.
But he is an accomplished cinematographer.
Yes, yes.
A lot of directors come out of the technical end. Others come out of the acting end. Yes. And I wonder what it's like in your cases. I'm assuming that he thought, well, I'll just hire some of the best actors in the world and trust them to do the job so that I don't have to give them any suggestions.
Well, he gave suggestions, I think, didn't he? Somewhat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. We had to straighten him out a few times. Some,
no,
but,
sometimes, Bill Murray. Sometimes the suggestions are okay, and sometimes they're not. You know, mm-hmm. with any director, I don't care who it is. You know,
you were saying something about Bill Murray, who's also in the film. Yeah. I'd imagine it was an experience working with Bill.
Yeah,
Murray.
He's kind of a smart ass who's very talented. That's why I look at him. We're a funny guy.
And he's playing a slightly shady character here, yeah. the funeral director.
Right.
Who you've come to arrange his funeral through.
Right. You know, and he needs the business because up in Chicago where he initially came from, people are dying like flies. Down here they're not dying much at all. So he's looking for any business that he can find, really.
It's also interesting that the producer is Dean Zanuck. He's a third-generation Zanuck,
yeah.
isn't he?
I say if the Zanuck dynasty couldn't raise $6.5 million, who can? You know, it took them 6-7 years.
To get the small budget
yes,
for this film?
Absolutely.
So this is the kind of film that actors are willing to not take their full salaries because it's a film of real quality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just...
We don't want that word to leak out, though.
Right. Don't let it leak out. You know, it's like...
Both bankable stars.
Yeah, it's like one of those movies that they usually... There was once, they say, that every year the 10 best films that never get made. Mm-hmm. This could have been one of them, you know. Sometimes there's some films that have nice scripts that don't get made.
So you say, how many years has this film been
worked? I think it was 6, 7, 8, I guess.
How soon into the process were you approached about playing these parts?
Well, I met with them the first time years ago. Yeah. I wasn't quite old enough to play this role right. then, but by the time they
Still
got it
are.
Going, I was perfect.
barely.
Years and years, but the script went through, we became like cheerleaders. We're going, that's great. Keep going.
Yeah,
keep working.
Yeah, but then he kind of got adrift at one point.
Yeah, but then they brought in a wonderful writer named C. Gabby Mitchell, he did a great
from
job.
Alabama. Terrific.
You know, he really grounded it and gave it heart.
And then gave great embellishments, too. You know.
Yeah.
Wonderful scenes.
Well,
I wouldn't be sitting here if it weren't for him.
Now, I assume that you were approached rather early,
too,
because I can't imagine anybody else in this part.
Well, thank you, sir, but it was pretty early, and through my manager agent.
Do you think that they write with the actors in mind sometimes? Hey, you know,
well, they say
Duvall
that.
Is going to kill this
Horton
line.
Foote said he never did that, but I think he kind of did it. Maybe they do. Maybe they did. I don't know. They kind of imply that sometimes. Maybe it's that they say that to help get you.
My guests are Robert Duvall and Sissy Spacek, two of the stars of a new film called Get Low that opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Regal Union Square theaters. Sissy, I read that you said it was very combustible while you were making the film. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
What did I said that?
Yeah.
Combustible. It sounds like a film publicist got crazy, wrote that up. You know, that's not the word that I would choose. It was, of course, you do want things to happen and there to be chemistry between all the actors, and there was that. The only combustion I can remember is the very first day of shooting. We only had a 25-day schedule, and Aaron, who was first seen. First day, and I was in the hair and makeup chair, and they were crimping my hair, 1930s style, and it took hours. To make me look that old.
Right.
I was in the makeup chair, and the door burst open, and in flew Aaron, and he was pretty combusted. He was so upset. He needed me on set, and it was the first day, and I think he was probably flashing forward thinking, we're never going to get this done. She's going to be under that hairdryer the whole time.
Right.
I did get to set just as quickly as I could. I hated that dang dryer. and we stayed on schedule, but that was I was a little rattled.
Was that when you were doing a card game?
Yeah. Oh, I was rattled.
I heard you were rattled. I heard you.
Well,
spot check temper came up a little bit.
Yeah. I was going, hey, I'm not doing my hair and makeup. She is. Right. Her barking
exactly.
her.
Exactly. But, he was barking at you?
He was barking. He was not really, but he was just, you know, he was watching the
He
the
felt
money
under the gun.
Click away. He was under. We were all under the gun. Well,
yeah.
The actor Gerald McRaney, who plays the Reverend Gus Horton,
he said he would do this just to do it. You know, he wonderful actor.
We loved him.
He's a wonderful actor, and you know, and he doesn't get the credit, but as he should. But he was so great in that play on Broadway, Dividing the Estate by Horton Foote. He was brilliant.
He's a great actor
in
everything he does.
Yeah, he's a wonderful actor, and he. He said he'd just do this, I don't know, just to do it, and he wanted to be in on it, which was, it was great to have him.
And he said, Sissy, that you're like Henry Fonda, who would work his tail off so the audience won't see the wheels turning.
He's too kind. Well, I love
it. It's like Joe DiMaggio, who always made it look so easy.
Mickey Mantle, too. I love Mickey.
But your character, Robert, has a fierceness. He holds people at arm's length. You get the sense he has a lot of holes inside. How much did you have to understand those broken places in him before you took the part? Or
no, just
is that
just,
something you just work out
you
while
just
you're
jump
acting?
In and do. It's all about daydreaming, and you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and daydream at night even, and think about it. You know, it's all a mulling process.
You really do. You just wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, gee, I that character.
Yeah, you think
would
about
this
things,
thing
and then you think about it. And I was on a vacation at Christmas with my wife's family up in northern Argentina, and I would sit at this little hotel veranda and look out at the beautiful Andes Mountains and think about the part and, I guess, think about solitude. And there was solitude there looking at those mountains.
Well, this is also a guy who doesn't talk a lot.
Well, yeah, that's true. But
you have to express an awful lot without saying
a lot
of
words. Yeah,
he
doesn't. But the people that I've found that are hermits, when they do come out and before they go back in, all they do is talk. Certain hermits love to talk when you meet them.
Well, there's a very funny line that Bill Murray has. He doesn't say much, but when he does, he's very articulate.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And well, wonderful writing. Wonderful writing. And the writing just carries you along so nicely.
The both of you started as singers?
No, I never did. My brothers did. She did.
Yeah, but you both sung.
I do my own singing, my own dancing, my own horsemanship in movies.
Me too.
Did you wish that you could have sung in this? Oh, that's
No. He probably sang to his dogs and his mule at one time.
My guests are Robert Duvall, who stars as Felix Bush, and Sissy Spacek, who stars as Maddie Darrow in a new film called Get Low, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and the Regal Union Square Theaters. We will continue after this. Later on the show, Oscar-winning director Leon Gast is joined by the subject of his latest documentary, Smash His Camera, the notoriously controversial paparazzo Ron Galella. Plus, this week's Please Explain is all about dreams and nightmares. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. I'm back with my guests, Sissy Spacek and Robert Duvall, the stars of a new film called Get Low that opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Regal Union Square Theaters. Where was this film shot?
Georgia. Did you get good rebate, you know?
Well, you are on a tight budget. I assume that you pray for good weather all the time.
Yeah, actually, we had a snow, didn't we?
We did. It was cold as can be.
Yeah, in February, yeah. It was very cold.
You've said in the past that it's easy to get Southern characters wrong.
Everybody says that, I think. Talk to Billy Bob Thornton about it. He'll tell you.
He
wants to direct a movie, but you know, and he won't allow any New York actors below the Mason-Dixon line. You know, it can be that, you know. Yeah, you
gotta, well, the accents, of course.
Well, yeah, but accents, they vary.
There's
12
accents.
Different Virginia accents from the mountains to the from the Piedmont to the coast. So the different one, my father had a different one. I'm sure, well, you down there with people from Southern Virginia, but so it's just that there are many.
Sissy, where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Texas.
Which can be the South, but also can be the West. Which part?
Exactly. Well, it's the Southwest, pioneer spirit. But my mother always reminded me that Texas was settled by Virginians.
And Horton Foote's people were from Mississippi.
my part of my family was from Mississippi and part was from Virginia.
Right. My dad's people were all from Virginia.
I'm amazed that the two of you didn't appear in something by Horton Foote.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, I know. And Horton Foote would have loved this movie. And the first day that I gave that final speech to the audience, and then the mule comes on with a coffin that I built for my real death when it is to come in the future, my wife in life was off camera, and she got a message at that moment that I was giving that speech that Horton Foote had just died.
Oh, my.
What goose pimples she got. I was moved when the scene was over. It was like full circle from To Kill a Mockingbird to that. It was like he was there because I had always wanted him to see this movie because it's a lot. I said it was a lot like Horton Foote with a little more edge, you know, Get Low. I think he would have really responded to this movie.
Now, I don't want to give away too much, but that speech is a long speech.
Yes.
And you go through an awful lot of emotional changes and not too many cuts.
No, there were no cuts.
So it was almost like doing something in theater.
Yeah, exactly. With three cameras, we did it once. When it was on me. Then we did it once on her. It was over. So many times they beat you over the head with different angles. They work a scene all day long. By the time you're through, you're worn out. You don't know if they're going to use the right takes or not. But here it was just over quickly, which is good.
But I guess you were using theatrical technique to get yourself through all of those different emotional changes.
No. It's just, the same as you would be on stage, but you don't consciously try to put yourself through any beats. Mm-hmm. You just let it go. That was a speech that I just thought a lot about when I used to sit in front of the Andes Mountains in North Argentina.
Well, it's very moving. There wasn't a dry eye in the house when I watched the film. And as I watched you in this film, I had to push the fact that at one point you were rooming here in New York City with Dustin Hoffman and Gene Hackman. I had to push that out of my mind because it seemed
impossible. Gene was downtown with his wife, Faye, and we were uptown, my brother, Dusty. It was a Maurice Stern, a Jewish cantor, and there were two other acts. We had great times. Now I never see these guys.
How did that happen? Are you just all people trying to establish yourselves?
You mean now?
No.
Then. We just happened to come together by chance, and we palled around together and shared our dreams and our aspirations.
And were there places you hung out in those days?
Well, Cromwell's Drugstore, I don't know if it's still there at 50th and 6th. And
it's not there anymore.
We used to hang out there in different places and cook. We'd cook at home. And it was great times to remember parties. It was terrific.
Did you ever have anything like that, Sissy?
It's one of the perks of just starting out. Yeah. It's kind of like being in a little club. Yep. When you're starting out with people, you're in class with them, or you see the same people at auditions, and then you watch everybody's rise, and then some fall by the wayside. Yeah. I came up with John Travolta and Diane Keaton and Melanie Mayron and Christopher Walken and.
I tell young actors what's the advice, and I said always get with a group. It's difficult as an individual if you go to whatever city. Try to get with a group, and therefore
exactly
that group
right.
Kind of nurture one another.
Well, you wanted to be a singer, didn't you, Sissy?
I was a singer. That was what I
can't
came
get her to
that.
Sing at all because she keeps saying, "Oh, my daughter's the real singer," which I don't believe.
And you live with Geraldine Fitzgerald and Rip Torn in
Geraldine
the city.
Geraldine Page.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They were married.
Yes.
In the apartment Dustin and I gave up, two floors on 20. They bought the building.
Is that
Rip
where
Torn.
You lived? Yeah. Then that's where I live, too. Oh, my God.
Rip Torn bought that building
in
Geraldine Page. After we,
it's amazing you haven't worked together before.
I know.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
I didn't even know you were there.
I didn't either.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that you were there.
That was London. What was the name of that area down there?
Chelsea,
yeah. Nice.
So you were a singer.
I was a singer.
When did you decide you wanted to act as well?
I was just trying to make a living, and I was singing clubs, and I was, modeling, and I met a wonderful manager who suggested I act, and I'd never really wanted to go there because I didn't want to shame Rip and Geraldine because they're just so brilliant. Geraldine was one of the greatest actresses ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of them, I really worked really hard. When I finally did start acting, I worked hard just so I wouldn't try not to embarrass them too terribly. I'm sure I embarrassed them plenty, but
maybe they embarrassed you. No.
Well, you know, no. Life is a two-way street, yeah,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, how much is this a matter of just learning how to do it, and how much of it do you think is an innate thing?
Combination of many things, I would think, yeah.
Well, did you always want to be an actor, Robert?
My parents kind of pushed me into it.
Really?
Is that right?
Using parents try to dissuade kids from
in a military family.
Isn't that
my father went to the Naval Academy off a farm from Virginia when he was 16 years old. He was accepted at the Naval Academy.
And why did they think acting would be the right thing for
you? Because I wasn't doing very well. Towards the end of the Korean War, I was doing lousy in school, and so it was an expedient thing to get me through. Wow. And I got my first A, and I didn't know, you know, I was petrified of it. We did some nice small college I went to, and then when I got out of the Army as a draftee, I headed to New York City.
Is that why you've played soldiers so well over the years?
Well,
because your father was one?
No, he was in naval. He was more qualified. Mm-hmm. But when I was in the military, I always used to really, on my own, just observe many of the special service officers and things, you know. I mean, I don't want any part of the military, but I do have a certain respect for it. So, you know, I served my time 2 years, which was too long. 6 months would have been better, which was later. I was drafted, but, you know, it's so. And Gene Hackman, you know, he was in Michael Caine. They were both in Korea, but I just missed it. And Gene tells the story when they had, like, it was so cold, they were like 40 below zero. He had this big parka in at 2 o'clock at night, you know, guard duty. They come around there, say, "Oh, President Convoy, sir." He'd have a little Korean girl zipped up and shot this big park that nobody could see.
Yeah. Now, Gene has been on the show a couple of times, and he's pretty much quit acting. He does commercials.
Yeah, no, he lives in Santa Fe.
Could you imagine either of you quitting acting?
No, Michael Caine says you don't retire, the business retires you.
Yeah, but Gene Hackman is at the height of his powers.
I know, he did retire. I don't know why.
I bet he's having fun.
Well, he said that he just couldn't stand the business, that it just started annoying him, all the things that he had to do.
Like what?
Well, I don't know, dealing, I guess, with agents
and directors
and whatever.
Yeah. He was working an awful lot, you know, right before he quit.
I saw a movie recently that he did in the 70s. It was terrific.
He's great.
Called Zanzi's Bride or something. He was so good.
Well, he was in The Conversation.
Exactly.
Francis Ford Coppola,
yes.
A director who's been important in your life as well.
Francis Ford Coppola and Horton Foote, had I never had anything but those two, I would have had a wonderful mini career. That would have been great.
Did you have any director like that, Sissy?
Mm-hmm. Terrence Malick, mm-hmm. Badlands, and that's where.
That was one of his best films ever.
Yeah, and I've worked with a lot of really wonderful directors, David Lynch and Robert Altman.
What do you do at all? What were you in at all?
I was in a film called Three Women that he directed, and then I was in a film also called Welcome to L.A. that he produced.
Oh, yeah, because he was one of those directors in the 70s that, different from a lot of the old-time directors, would say, one guy said, when I say action, tense up, God damn it, can you imagine? I mean, come on, you know.
Somebody actually said that to you?
Yeah, said it to another actor.
Oh.
Like saying that to Joe Montana right in the middle of the Super Bowl or something like that. But Altman, he was not like that. He really, and Coppola, too, they turned it around and let it come from the actor. And made a very kind of a joyous, relaxed experience, right?
Yeah, I came up. I started in the 70s, so I really, you all paved the way for those of us who started in the 70s.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, there are plenty of good people today. Always will be.
So, is it? Do you sometimes try to pick a role because you'll be working with certain people, actors or directors?
Well, certainly.
If it presents itself to allow you to pick it, yeah.
I always look at the whole overall project first, and the director is of utmost importance.
Because I've spoken to some European actors who said, well, I took this role because it gave me an opportunity to work with so-and-so, and then I took that role because I always had wanted to work with this other director. I guess it's nice if you have those options.
If it's a good project. Though.
Yeah, I think everybody has their own personal way of choosing roles.
My guests are Sissy Spacek and Robert Duvall, and they are starring in a new film called Get Low, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and the Regal Union Square theaters. It's interesting that both of you have won Oscars playing country singers.
Right.
We should get a bus.
And then Jeff Bridges won a dish last year.
That's right.
Right.
Would you like to go on tour? I mean, would you want to go back to singing, Sissy, full time?
No, no, no. I my daughter, one of my oldest daughter, is a singer and writer, songwriter.
Skyla Fisk.
Yeah, and I would like to, you know, sing with her, go on tour with her.
Why not? A little harmony.
That's fun. She's under all the, she's under the gun. She's in, got all the pressure on her, and I just there, you know,
harmonize.
Having a good time harmonizing.
Right. Well, there are other mother-daughter combinations in country music.
Yes, there are. They don't need, they don't, she doesn't need me to throw
I wasn't
off.
Saying that. I was saying it the other way. That might be fun.
There's one I know of. How many are there? The Judds.
Well,
like,
the,
yeah, well, the Judds
and,
are pretty big. There have been other families, the Carter family.
Yeah, the Carter family. Yeah.
What about your younger daughter, Madison?
She's a filmmaker. She's in film school. She's writing, directing, shooting. She's really, in fact,
where'd she go to Southern Cal? Where'd she go to film school?
Well, she went to Cal Arts and then studied sculpture at VCU, and now she's at New York.
In L.A.?
Uh-huh. Oh. But her, I worked on a film with her. I was basically producer slash production assistant a few weeks ago, and I really learned a lot.
Did your husband do the sets?
No, he was working on Water for Elephants, but I really learned a lot. It was just, I was just floored by how professional the whole group, the whole crew was.
Nice. Yeah.
And I had a little role in another film that she did. Yeah. So she threw
it's
me
such
a bone.
It's such an in medium now going into the 21st century. So many young people, rather than becoming writers and this novelist, they want to become filmmakers and directors. And
it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah,
well,
really,
there was that old joke. What do you want to do? I want to direct. Everybody wanted to direct. Well, what about directing? Have you ever wanted to do that?
There was a T-shirt. When I first went to L.A., everybody was wearing this T-shirt. It was a dog with a megaphone. And he said, but what I really want to do is direct.
Really?
I'm going to direct traffic. I do want to direct, but it's such a cliche thing that I'm not even going to say it, so I take that back.
Right.
I have plans to do everything.
Yeah, why not?
Well, you know so much, both of you, about acting, I would assume that directing would be a logical step.
Well, Bobby's a great director.
You've been here to talk about
it's an extension of yourself as an actor, really, turning around and let the process come from them. Rather than saying do this, do that, you know.
Your film was just fantastic.
Thank you.
And it took you to Argentina to
that one. Yeah, I did that other one down there. Yeah, it was great down there. I love working there. Good actors, good crews. Yeah, terrific down there.
You've said that people come up to you and quote your first line in Apocalypse Now, even all these years later.
Yeah, and thinking they're the only ones and I'm the only ones that know it. You know?
Right? Yeah, exactly. I guess a joke occurs to somebody and he thinks I'm the only person it's ever occurred to.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's obvious that they want to connect to you as well.
They feel that you've done something
important in their
lives. Well, yeah, or kids going down the street with a boombox. Hey, man, I've seen you in Colors. So, you know, it depends on the, but a lot in Lonesome Dove's like a Bible in Texas for the people there. They love to watch it there. I was in the Philippines, and it was a time warp. We were in the middle of nowhere. There was one Anglican was a Catholic priest that was, like, with his parish there. And the kids would go, hey, Joe, like it was a World War II still.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy comes up to me, ha, Mr. Hackman, I love your work so much, French Connection, all the movie. I said, no, I'm Robert Duvall. Oh, you're my favorite actor, he said.
Yeah, that's really embarrassing that happens.
Who did they confuse you with?
They confused me over the years. I've been confused with Sally Field. Right. We're about the same size, I think. And
you're both very good actors.
She's a great actor. She's a great actor.
Do you have favorite roles? Lonesome Dove has to
Lonesome
be one
Dove
of your
I liked a lot. The Godfather, too. But Lonesome Dove was my favorite role. I was fortunate to be in two big things at the end of the 20th century. Although Godfather 1 and 2 was probably overall better directed than Lonesome Dove, but the arc of Lonesome Dove coming from a great, great novel, it's really all over the country, like, you know, it's like an epic for people.
I'm sure Coal Miner's Daughter was really important for you because you got to sing as well and played Loretta
Lynn.
Yeah,
there have been a couple of
films. Well, she sang so much like Loretta Lynn. I mean, you sing anyway, but you sounded so much like her. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
I remember
you.
That. I didn't
even
know you at the time, but I remember.
She's one of my dearest friends.
Is she?
I'll see her and she'll show me her hands and say, look at these blisters. I've been out in my garden.
Oh, nice.
So she's
you know
just
who
a
I got
fabulous,
to know only
fabulous
briefly
woman.
Was a good singer, terrific lady, Tammy Wynette. We filmed with Horton Foote a movie f- from the Faulkner short story called Tomorrow. And we filmed it over in East Tennessee, East Mississippi, in her grandfather's farm. I forget his name, Chet Russell, I think it was his name. It was her grandfather's farm. And when he first saw the movie, he walked out mad because he thought, because I was helping a young woman get back in life, he thought we were having a thing going on in his barn. That was Tammy Wynette's granddad, yo, over near Red Bay, Alabama. Just, what a wonderful lady she
just
was.
One more thing before you go. You shot this this film in Georgia.
Yes.
In the old days, you would have shot it in Hollywood, and there would have been a couple of location shots.
Yeah, like To Kill a Mockingbird was shot all
I wasn't around when people were shooting in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah,
I didn't do the backlot thing ever.
I think it's better. Location is better, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
It becomes a character,
it's
right?
The most important character in the film.
Exactly.
I want to thank the two of you, who are two of the most important characters I've ever met. Robert Duvall, Sissy Spacek, co-starring with Bill Murray and Lucas Black and others in a wonderful film called Get Low, which opens today at the Lincoln Plaza and Regal Union Square Theaters. It's been a real pleasure having you back on
our
show.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.